concerned about what Pacifica represents, the contribution that it makes to society and its potential for helping to change it. And you, sir, both of you, are doing the Los Angeles listeners a great, great disservice. Now, I know you'll want to interrupt me here, as is your habit, but you're spreading some real awful distortions. I'm not saying that I disagree with everything that you're saying, but certainly there's another side to this that needs to be told. And the idea that you've gone on now for close to 2 hours unchallenged making all of these assertions is just really disingenuous. For instance, you're talking about union bashing. You're talking about people being purged. What you're not mentioning is the fact that the people who are no longer at Pacifica who were union members were paid off. They were given a severance package, which they accepted. You, sir, Paul DiRienzo, accepted your severance package.
I did not accept any package at all. I brought a complaint to the National Labor Relations Board, and I've won.
Well, I understand
and point
that
of fact,
you filed
the other people,
but you were given a severance package.
I turned it down.
The people with the National News were given a severance package.
I turned it down. I was
package.
Not willing to be fired, and I continued with my job. I was not willing to leave. It was given to us as something we could take or not if we wanted to or didn't want to.
Which
I decided not to take it. 2 weeks later, I was fired.
Well, there
you go. I brought
a
complaint. My union brought a complaint after against Pacifica, and that went to the National Labor Relations Board, and along with Marjorie Moore, our complaints were upheld. We were unfairly fired.
Well, I guess we'll have to see about
that. In violation of the contract that Pacifica had signed.
Sir, and as to your other comments, that I've gone on for an hour and 40 minutes uninterrupted, let me mention that for over a year and a half, the dissidents went on 24 hours a day, hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of emails unchallenged. I made that clear in my presentation. Not one single one of the people who were being attacked was standing up because they felt that they could not meet the kind of attacks. What do you call when someone breaks into your computer and hacks it? What do you call when people challenge you outside your church to the church members and outside your home and take a bottle opener and scratch your car? Do you consider that a fair way of challenging people?
Well, I have heard those charges made. I've heard that those sorts of things have happened.
First of all,
I have no proof that they happened. Secondly, I can guarantee you that nobody that I know ever engaged in such activity.
That's what
we certainly never did it here in Ohio, and it was certainly discouraged at every turn by the national leadership of the movement to reclaim Pacifica. There were disclaimers that went out on the websites. It was said on the air. There were emails that went out that said, please, folks, be careful. Don't violate anyone's civil rights. Don't engage in tactics of intimidation.
If those things
actually happened, they certainly did not come from any of the people that were principal activists in the movement. And I don't think that the movement as a whole can be held accountable for the unjustified actions of a few, if in fact they happened. And we were never shown any...
Sir, you have your right to your opinion. Unfortunately, your opinion have nothing to do with the facts because you haven't spent the time interviewing the people who've got the death threats.
And neither have you, Gary. You never talked to half of the people you leveled charges against in your fallacious report on WBAI.
Not true.
Which had to be...
Give me a specific... Be specific.
I
want a specific name right now. Give me the goddamn name, fella. If you're going to say I didn't do something, then prove it right now.
It has been
can't do
proven.
It, can you? It's
it
good for you. This is the kind of tactic
rebuttal,
you take. I interviewed the people who are in my report.
In fact,
you don't want to hear it? Good for you. But
I
will tell you this.
And refute it point by point.
Well, then do so. Don't come up on the air and say that I haven't done something.
The problem is that you don't respond when people try to contact you. I tried to contact your office numerous times. I left messages. You never, ever responded.
Well,
and what responsibility do I have when most of my work is in saving lives? I have a choice every day. I'm out here counseling terminally ill people. I'm out here trying to help on three separate environmental groups. I am not going to be putting your time to get your satisfaction of arguing with me ahead of someone who's terminally ill.
I think it's very interesting that I did
a debate on my radio show where Leslie Kagan, Bernard White,
that they
debated
were
me on
they
the
had
points.
Years of experience at Pacifica, and they were attacked by people they had never seen before, who were not even in the listening areas of the station. I can tell the person who went after Steve Yasko, who you were talking about an hour ago, who lives in upstate New York, hasn't been anywhere near WBAI or Pacifica listening area in years, and yet made their entire life getting back at people because they were once fired from a job they used to have. And this is the kind of thing. I mean, so many people told me that they were approached by people who they never seen before, who showed no interest in Pacifica, had never come to them, had never been involved in anything having to do with Pacifica before, who were yet so enraged and so involved in something, and often it came, they lived in a place like Ohio, or they lived like a place in upstate New York. And this was really a movement of people who really had no other movement. And
oh,
this is what they
absurd.
Did in order to fill their time.
If you were involved in any other kind of social justice action, you wouldn't be able to claim that. I've been involved
Christ.
In all kinds of issues. In
Paul
fact,
and I have spent our entire career involved in social issues.
Because I believe it's very
oh,
important.
Oh, come now. That's not true at all. What social issues have you been involved in, sir?
oh, okay. So I'm
Tell me a few of them.
Be specific
about what you've been involved
be
in.
Be specific.
Really?
Specifics.
Yeah.
I can criticize Leslie Kagan and say that her organization, the Committees of Correspondence, I played a major role in helping out when they were under a serious attack by the federal government.
Okay, so what you're saying is that you want to take up KPFK's listeners' times with me.
You're calling in. You have a right to call in. You've been on the air, and you've made allegations, and I'm saying prove it.
Okay,
show us now. Let's see who you are.
So the question on the table is what? Political activities that I've been involved in.
Mr. Evan Davis. I assume you're Evan Davis.
Right, that's me.
Yeah, I could tell. I know you're from Ohio, and you've been involved in this from the very beginning. You put out a huge percentage of the emails that we've been talking about have come from you.
Well, I post on
You've been
on
one of the most
list.
Extremely involved people in this movement from the very beginning, and you live in Ohio.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I also grew up in Los Angeles listening to KPFK, and I've listened to WBAI in New York every summer when I used to spend my summer
Oh, that's
there.
Good. And Pete can go to Lake Placid in the summer. Tell us what you've done to make it a better world.
Well, most recently I organized a statewide anti-war rally here in Ohio that was the largest anti-war rally we've seen here since the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
I've certainly contributed to Pacifica. I've contributed stories to Free Speech Radio News and Peace Watch. I did a documentary on the gang truce that was aired on KPFK and WBAI. Never would have been possible, by the way, under the previous management.
How do you know?
Well, because I had approached the previous management, and they were very unreceptive to such projects. In fact, part of what inspired me to do that documentary was knowing that there was the flexibility to allow that kind of innovation.
So you personally got on the air because the political group that you supported got in. I find that fascinating.
No.
I mean, is that the
goal? I got on the air because the journalism
that's a
that
distortion,
I did was
Paul.
Good. The program directors listened to it. They decided this was valuable material. It should be on the air. You know, nobody else had done it.
It wasn't a reward for loyalty
at that point. Huh?
It wasn't a reward for your loyalty to the movement?
Not at all. No, in fact, the program directors didn't even know who I was when I sent them this documentary. It went up on the Pacifica satellite, and the stations downloaded it and aired it, all except KPFA, actually, because they're kind of stuck in the mud with their program council. So do you want me to go on? I've got many
no,
more credentials
Ohio,
to get involved with anti-Ohio. Okay. Involved with women's rights movements, civil rights movements, local environmental issues.
That's far from very specific.
Okay, I think that you have given your credentials. Would you like to make another remark on Gary and Paul's presentation before we go to another call?
Well, I just want to say to the listeners that if you want to consider everything that Gary and Paul have just said, please do yourself the service of following it up by getting the other side of the story, because you will not get it from them. They have been consistently hostile to the efforts to reclaim Pacifica, with a few exceptions, which Gary will no doubt make a big to-do about. But, talk to the people involved. Don't just take their word for it. There are a lot of rumors out there, many of which are unfounded. I can tell you from personal experience, as somebody who has never, ever engaged in any of the things that they've complained about. But from my perspective, they're not telling you the truth.
Mm-hmm. Let's be specific on one issue here. No one heard a word from me until my report was reviewed and finally released. I did not take sides, except I did provide a forum on 9 occasions to the dissidents to come on and share their point of view. I only provided a forum on 2 occasions to those who had been attacked to come on to present their point of view. So that means about 75% of the time I did provide on the radio was to provide a forum for people who had been fired and to give their point uncontested. Juan Gonzalez, uncontested. Bernard White, uncontested. Rob Robinson from the National Board, who brought one of the lawsuits, uncontested. So to say that I in any way distorted facts or took a side is wrong. And my interviews you were not privy to.
No,
You didn't hear my interview with Leslie Kagan.
I heard you aired.
Yeah, well, you also heard that when Leslie Kagan said on the air when she was debating me, at her request, she and Bernard White, I caught them in repeated errors and repeated facts when she said she had never fired anyone, and we proved that she had Bob Daughtry, and Bob Daughtry was on the other line and gave me the actual memo, and I read the memo over the air. I came with my facts, and I showed that what they had said was wrong. Now, whether that ultimately means anything to you or not, or anyone else, is up to you all to decide. I can't determine what you want to make of the facts, but the facts are wrong that the dissidents had been putting out from the beginning. You were one of the leaders of that movement to put those out on the Internet.
No, I wasn't.
Oh, yes, you were, because you're
I have hundreds of emails that you sent out.
Hundreds.
I have them on my Internet site. I have them on my computer. I'll put them on the Internet if you need to.
Filled with misinformation.
Well, I'm very flattered by
that. I kept
that.
Everything.
I also taped that show on BAI, so I can go back and review that myself.
Okay. Thank you, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, you're on the air with Gary Nall and Paul DiRienzo.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, my name is Michael. I'm calling from, I guess right now I'm in Culver City. I live in Koreatown. Good morning to you, gentlemen.
Morning.
I'm, just so you know, I'm not actually involved in, I'm just a regular KPFK listener, have been for about 10 years. I'm just a listener, you know, I've paid dues, $50, $100 a year. I don't have any level of involvement, other than listening and supporting your show and supporting the radio station over the years. And just so you know, I sort of typify myself as basically a standard listener. Okay, so that's where I'm coming from, which I guess would represent probably a large part of your audience. And I've been listening very intently, not just to your show, but to all the stuff that's been going on from, you know, from the beginning of this last coup or failed coup or transformation or whatever you want to call it over the last 2 or 3 years. And for the life of me, I understand people feel very, very strongly, and you certainly do. I honestly, from all I've heard on KPFA, and I've heard a lot of different sides, I honestly can't figure out what's going on, and maybe I'm not, maybe I shouldn't be able to, but what I hear is, I hear at least two sides that feel extremely strongly about their positions, and that very often degenerate into personal accusations, perhaps not name-calling. And some of those things may be true. You know, some of the things that you were talking about harassment or just threats or what have you. So, and I don't know. Some of those things very well may be true. But as a listener, it gets very frustrating because for all that this has been talked about, and it's been talked about, you know, I don't want to say to death, but there's been a lot about it, and I've listened to a lot of it. And, I mean, I guess I'm asking for a solution that may not be possible, but it's really frustrating.
I have a solution.
Okay.
At least I have something to be considered.
Okay.
Whether or not it makes sense to people or not. I believe that everyone involved with Pacifica Foundation should resign. I believe that all the labs should resign. I believe everyone on the air, myself, Roy, everyone should quit. I believe then leave it up to the people who feel that they can run a better station to do so, and start for those who believe that they could be a part of that to be re-invited back to see whether or not there is the interest in having them back on the air. And if there's not the interest, they wouldn't. If there is, they would. And to provide a forum for new ideas, people who have better ideas than those of us who are on the air, voices that have not been heard, to have an opportunity to come on the air, so that there's a fresh start for Pacifica. I believe part of the problem is that there's voices that believe that they are entitled to be on forever. In fact, one guy actually left in his will that his radio time...
Not true.
Pardon me?
That's not true. That's an apocryphal story concerning Mike Hodel and Harlan Ellison, and a remark that Harlan...
No, I'm talking about Tom Croft.
At KPFA?
No, BAI.
He left it in his will?
No, this is a discussion he was having, and that was something that was not done. I'm familiar with the other story, and I didn't even put that in because that was ridiculous. But I'm just suggesting that what if we just started from scratch? And then for those of us who believe that it should be truly progressive ideas, meaning ideas that are held at a high level of quality of delivery, accountability, to then go on the internet and start a progressive talk network where you'd have shows for children, music, for the arts and crafts, for comparative religion, for history, for social sciences, a wide variety of music programming, and programming that is not heard even on non-commercial stations. In fact, I find that there's a very narrow range of programming on non-commercial stations. And with the advent of the technology today, with wide bandwidth and even getting wider in their bandwidth, you could have people coming on and having a forum that would not be then a forum controlled as the current ones are without all the politics. And therefore, if you wanted a radical radio, you could have radical radio. You could have it as radical as you wanted it. So this way, the audience could have places that they could go to hear what they want to hear without all the acrimony and the hostility and the fighting, which has been there. That's why I said it's been there as long as I've been on the air. It's just was never talked about. We had a gag rule. You couldn't talk about it no matter what was going on at the station. And so people never really knew the truth behind things. And today, you're right. People don't know the truth. Even to this moment, you don't know completely whose agenda is being sought, what information or misinformation is being presented, where the facts are, and which ideology will ultimately win out, if any. And in the process, what does this do to erode the listener base that's there? There's only so much bad radio you can listen to, and it shouldn't be that only selective programs, whether it's 10% or 20% of the programs, are really interesting to listen to or informative or provide you with
what
you want. It should be 24 hours a day we should have good radio.
Okay,
so
Gary,
I believe, in effect, we have to deconstruct the whole mess in order to reconstruct something that comes of value. And I thought one of the best ideas, and this is just an idea I thought, is to have two separate stations.
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Signals. One that allows the people
who still talking?
One type of radio and the other.
Oh, all right. I mean, my voice isn't on the air.
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Historically, you
couldn't
have
been
shown to station. Today, you
well, thanks for your – you want to make another point?
Well, I'd like to, but I wanted to sort of have a little bit of a dialogue, but it doesn't really seem possible.
Well, I've got a lot of calls coming in.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Hello, you're on the air with Gary Null and Paul DiRienzo.
Hi. Yeah, I just like to thank KPFK for having this discussion. I don't know who's a good guy and who's a bad guy, but from, you know, my uninformed opinion, it seems like Gary is on the side of truth, or, you know, for the best interest of the station, at least, what I mean to say. But I come from the right political perspective. Not all of my, you know, it's not about me, but, you know, what my, I just want to give this opinion, and you can, I'd just like to have your opinion about this statement. And my opinion is that the Pacifica network is basically a test marketing device for the liberal corporate establishment. And I think the power of right-wing radio has, has caused this debate to happen.
Okay.
There's a lot of truth to what you're saying, and I, when I see that some of the, for all the talk of corporatism that was leveled at the former board, when I see that some of the chief financiers of the Pacifica campaign were like major
George Soros
and major corporate people in and of themselves.
I don't believe that they're clean hands on any side of the debate at the national level. I believe that what has been left out is independent arbitrators to come in and sort through this. If anything, I believe that an independent, truly independent, administrator should come in and take over this. And Lewis Hill always provided a forum for people with different political points of view. I do not believe, and it's not in the charter, that Pacifica should just be for the left or radical left or liberal perspective. There are some very intelligent and meaningful thoughts that come from central and even right position, but they're not welcomed in most of that arena. Individual programmers or individual program managers may allow something like that, but it's right now it's an enormous challenge to that. And so once again, we're all being forced to go into a direction, like it or not, based upon the political ideologies of those people who are leading the foundation.
Extreme
and
identity.
That takes us far from where we should be.
Extreme identity politics, Gary, that is, I think, generally a, no matter how radical and strident the folks presenting it, these positions are, in fact, represents a terrible, terrible retreat from the ideals and goals of Martin Luther King Jr. and of Malcolm X and of all the great unifiers.
Can I say that I think, Gary, I think what worries the extreme left in the Pacifica radio station is that if you leave programming up to the free market of ideas, that in this current America, it's going to go shift to the right, and that's what I think they're afraid of.
Okay, thank you, caller.
Okay.
Hello, you're on the air with Gary Null and Paul DiRienzo.
Hello.
Yes.
Good morning, Roy. Good morning, Gary.
Morning.
And back in 1997 in Oakland at the national board meeting in June of 1997, the Pacifica Accountability Committee, which is www.pacfolio.org, submitted for consideration of the national board proposed bylaws for KPFK and other Pacifica radio stations. It's since been, since last August and September, it's been updated for a national model. We gave it again to the new board in the board meeting here in Los Angeles in March of 2002. Likewise, we were blown off. We're the folks that realized the central problem with Pacifica was a self-perpetuating local and national boards. And things, it allowed click domination of the whole, of all the stations and the network. And so we really wanted to the listeners to have meaningful democratic control of boards with power. And the reason was that we thought that we would have better radio and you would have all the listeners represented. So we've been rather disappointed that, for instance, on the bylaws programming, some of which is generated from Los Angeles, we were really never interviewed, never got to do our own program. The bylaws committee here in Los Angeles was taken over by a clique and dominated by a clique. There were real problems in Los Angeles going back to 1994, and from then on, in 1995, when Mark Shub came in, he dismissed the whole local board, which had at that point decided to reinstate the African American programming that had been kicked off. And that whole board was dismissed. It was the second time in KPFK's history that the local advisory board was dismissed. We felt that unless all factions were represented, that unless you had a democratically elected local boards, that you were going to have people shut out and it wasn't going to serve the whole community. So the PAC bylaws were a mechanism to allow all listeners to vote for the people that they felt best represented them. So everybody was represented. There would be no listener that would not have somebody on that board with, you know, that represented them, that somebody would represent them. They would vote for somebody who would be on the board with preferential balloting. And so we really, been saying this for years, but we really would like people to look at the model. It was picked up in the so-called Unity proposal that came out of the KPFK signal area, but that was a flawed process. The PAC proposal was cut out as the minority position, which it should have been. I leafleted the AMI event that was here in August.
You're putting my callers to sleep. Please get to the point. All
right. Well, the point is that unless we agree to have a meaningful, democratically elected local boards, we are going to have a total meltdown in Pacifica. If it's going to be one faction trying to supplant another faction, which is the way Pacifica has always done, this fight has been so deep and so divisive that unless we go to a very coherent board structure that involves all the listeners in a very meaningful way, we are going to have a meltdown in Pacifica. If we have a meltdown in Pacifica, we are going to lose functional free speech radio in this country, and the incremental Bush coup d'etat is going to be very dangerous for us all if we lose Pacifica.
Okay, thank you.
I'd like to address one point he made. Thank you very much for sharing your views, and there's a great deal of truth in his comments. One of the problems we face everywhere, at the national level and local levels, is who's going to make the decisions for management and for the major issues of what direction the foundation should go. The lab is very important, but what if the members of the lab, as they are primarily but not exclusively construed today, do not represent a democratic process that represents, as this man was saying, all the different people? And what I've been saying is the cliques have taken power historically. As long as I've been on Pacifica, 25 years, it's always been one group versus another. And that is not good for the station. It's not good for the foundation. It's not good for our movement. But they're not taking into consideration ideas that would help correct this. Because if they did, the cliques would no longer have the stranglehold on the position they now have.
What drives it is in any situation in business where you have, and Pacifica is a business, like it or not, where there is more people who want a product than the product being airtime that exists, then it becomes extremely at a premium and people start fighting and organizing themselves into power groups in order to grab that limited resource. We have to expand. There's only 168 hours in a week. There's five stations. You know, that's it. However, we can expand. There's so many new technologies out there, and nobody's thought in terms of, everybody's fighting about really 1960s era technology, and we're not looking at the future, which would be to bring in the internet, to increase the number of channels, to increase the number
of... Some of us are looking at the future, and some of us are bringing in the internet. There's KPFKX, for instance. Yes.
Yes.
Right. But, you know, in a sense, if you get what I'm getting at, if we were to focus on a way in which to increase the amount of airtime available by using these new technologies so that folks can dial in to, you know, you know, so that the groups that support the pink hippopotamuses from Quebec can have their half-hour a week show. And it'll be on the Internet, and all the pink hippopotamuses and the people who are married to people who are pink hippopotamuses can tune into that show and be happy about it. Then they won't have to join a clique to overthrow a group that wouldn't put a show on about pink hippopotamuses.
Okay, any other no. thoughts, caller? Okay, hello, you're on the air.
Oh, Roy.
Yes.
Good
and
morning.
Gary and Paul.
Yeah, this is Tarek here.
Hi, Tarek.
Hi.
Yeah, one of those who was vicariously omitted from the station because of the ideas that I presented with regards to the fraud of AIDS. And I tried extensively to get this on the daytime airwaves and constantly was ridiculed and eventually told me not even to come back. As a commentator on the news, I put forth a number of commentaries on the this fraud that is going on with the pro-AIDS people who insist upon putting out non-scientific, unscientific nonsense and will not allow anything on the air and during the daytime except for one or two little small segments. And not only that, the thing about vaccinations as well, those two issues have been extensively covered on your show. I've even been a guest on your show and have been trying to get people to see about these issues. But on the station, you get people who refuse to have any of this knowledge on during the daytime. What can we do about that?
I'm sorry, who are you asking the question to?
Roy, Gary, anybody.
I'll answer part of it. I have asked my publisher, Seven Stories Press, a small publisher of progressive books, to take the book I wrote this year, AIDS, A Second Opinion, and put it up on my website, complete. It's almost 800, 900 pages, free for people to be able to download the information that they choose. We're in the process of doing that right now. In fact, we met yesterday morning with the publisher to see about doing that. This way, the works of over 5,000 dissident scientists, journalists and activists, and
right.
physicians will be there for you to be able to read what they believe about the AIDS story. And there are over 5,000 footnotes for scientific accuracy and verification. And that way, if I am offering someone's opinion based upon their research that HIV could not be the so-called cause of 30 different syndromes, and then
right.
here's all these references, you can look at it, you can
right.
challenge it or not, but at least it's there. It's something that is out there. And we're making that available as soon as we can get it up. So that's what we're doing on our part.
I have it on my website as well at TareksInfoWorks.com. You can see all of the information that I've been putting out over the years, including...
Would you spell that, Tarek?
T-A-R-I-K-S, InfoWorks.com.
Okay.
And I've been doing this for 17 years on this issue, and I've spoken out many times all around the country. I've debated Stan Monteith on the air and a bunch of these other allopathic idiots with their nonsense about biology that they have no idea of, no idea of physiology, no understanding of how the body works, and then they're going to tell you that something that you cannot see attacks the body and does things when the body is in fact living and dying every day, all day.
So, okay. Thanks, Tarek.
I just think that it's pathetic that we have people representing the issue of so-called HIV, which it's not. It's called HIDV. Why did they leave the D out? They leave the D out because there's no proof in science that there's any viral cause of a deficiency, something you don't have. And you certainly can't give something away to someone else that you don't have. And that's been my main point. Thank you.
Okay, Tarek. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, good morning, Gary. I wanted to call and say thank you for all that you do, and Roy. I look at KPFK and Pacifica as a university where you can go to school a day or night. And one of the things I have been thinking about of is having like coffee houses called KPFK or WBAI cafes in which you can reprise some of your shows like through the archives. And so that some of the identity groups might meet together in rooms in this kind of a cafe and replay some of the shows and get together and organize. This is kind of counter to the technological kinds of things that are being forecast for using the Internet and things like that. This is just old-fashioned people getting together, having a cup of coffee, and discussing things.
That's done in New York, by the way.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. We have groups here in New York that get together with either the archive itself if the person's unavailable, but generally it's with the person, and frequently people are not even on the air anymore. People might have been off for 10 or 20 years.
Yeah.
And they get together and they discuss issues, and generally they're relatively small groups, 8, 10, 15 people, but it's an ongoing active thing here.
Yeah, well, I'm a school teacher, secondary school teacher. And I started out as a substitute. I taught full-time for some time, and now I'm kind of I'm near retirement, and I'm substituting again. And when I was first substituting, I was thinking about substitutes living together in a living space, maybe a small apartment building, a triplex, whatever, and manning that 24 hours a day. Now, in thinking about this kind of a cafe space, you could locate it in an area which would draw from several different groups, whether they be racial groups or economic groups and things like that. So you could bring people together, and then within this community, there could be specialists that could take a tape from the archive and become sort of master teachers and offer a discussion group that would meet in one of the rooms. And then in the just like the storefront level of the cafe, you could have just the radio station, you know, streaming. And so this is kind of what I was thinking about. I'm
you
glad
ought to
put that
energy out there. It's a good idea.
Oh, good.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. That's my contribution and positive for all the things that you guys have been doing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Then you can get Gary's group together over a cup of coffee. Does that sound right? Not. I think I just. Hello, you're on the air.
Tea.
Hello, is it me?
Yes, it's you.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you for being a woman to call.
Thank you. I happen to come from a conservative perspective, and I'm not going to talk about local board decisions or local board fighting. All I see with KPFK is radical left, like the sound of one hand clapping. Some of your black programming in the past has been so hateful that it's... America, I hate thee. America, I curse thee. It has been so, has the reputation of being not only radical left, but revolutionary left. And it's been amazing to me that you still get funds from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And having a communal living of people who think the same sounds to me like a terrible idea. But... anyway, that's my opinion. Pacifica and KPFK has a reputation among centrists of being revolutionary radio on the left. Absolutely, some people are seditious there. So that's all I have to say. Thanks.
Well, hold on
well,
the
Carl,
air
let me
for
suggest
a moment,
that if they keep following this extreme identity politics fracturing division, it really shows that the so-called revolutionary left doesn't have much faith in their own belief systems and are just going to defend their own little corner of turf. So I think that your point of view might win out in the end if they keep going in the direction they are.
Let me share a thought with you, ma'am, and then you could respond. I don't share my own political views. I don't share my sexual views. I've never done a show on religion because I don't want to alienate anyone who may have a different point of view than myself. I do believe, however, that when you're doing important work, that you should invite people who have a broad spectrum of ideas. I think it just is better radio when you have people who are articulate and are qualified in their area, irrespective of what political ideology
well,
they have.
Let me give you an example. let me give
one
you
of the
example.
Things I have long advocated is to have more representation of diverse groups on a particular agenda. So if you're going to offer a show that is going to attack Israel, have a leading Israeli scholar on to represent the best efforts.
I'll
give you an example that Michael Moore is a friend, and I consider him a friend on many different levels, and we communicate whenever we see each other. He's generally on tour. And I saw Bowling for Columbine, and the one thing, among others, that I felt that would have strengthened his presentation is if instead of interviewing some local militia about their guns, if he would have invited some of the scholars on who support guns, the private use of guns, ownership of guns, who could give extremely persuasive argument. And I did not see that. I also didn't see that in the Bowling for Columbine that the kids who actually did the killings were both on multiple medications, and the side effects of those medications include psychotic and suicidal tendencies, plus depersonalization and extreme agitation and anger and akathisia. That would have been a different perspective.
Hello?
Adding on to the basic perspective. I think that what we have seen in too much of the liberal community is a one-sidedness. And conversely, I believe on the right, we frequently see people with multiple conservative points of view without having proper representation of a more liberal perspective, so that you get the best of both sides who can argue their points of view,
yes,
and then let the audience see whether or not either or both makes sense to them. I believe that there needs to be balance in reporting and balance in commentaries from both sides.
Am I still on?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I've listened to NPR, I listen to KPFK, and I also listen to right-wing radio and right-wing TV. And I see that right-wing radio hosts and TV hosts, for example, O'Reilly, they always have people on the left that they can have a balanced discussion. As for you, Mr. Null, I've seen you mentioned Israel. I have heard you on a couple of programs with totally one-sided people. For example, you had a whole hour not too long ago with Normal Finkelstein, who has condemned everything about Israel for years and years and years, and I was frankly surprised. I've never heard you have anyone on about Israel from the other side or from the right wing in Israel giving another perspective.
Ma'am, I've only done one program on Israel.
No, you've done two, because and when I heard a few months ago or several months ago you had one, and then when I heard Normal Finkelstein on, I was really disgusted because that was the second one that I heard from
that,
you.
That is not correct. First of all, Finkelstein was not on as an attack against Israel, and I gave his credentials and the fact that he was a person who held very strong views and was controversial and was not accepted within a certain member of the certain groups of the community. So his position was stated before he made a statement, and it was specific to an issue that did not have to do with Israel or its right as a state to exist.
No, he doesn't attack Israel's right to exist, but it's everything Israel does. He takes the Arab side, he takes the Palestinian side, he takes the attackers of Israel side. Every single time.
And I had Levine on talking about the Israeli point of view, and I was the only other time I'd done any discussion was talking about the difference between accurate reporting and inaccurate reporting, and it was actually a challenge to Pacifica's own inaccurate reporting on the number of dead at Jenin.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the only other time I had ever done anything, and that was merely to talk about how we should be very careful about the figures that we're hearing and what we associate with those figures, and it was not taking either side. In fact, the man who was there was actually in Jenin, was there during the bulldozing, and showed that there were terrorists there, as well as not the body count we had had. So it was a very fair and objective reporting from a first-hand person.
Okay.
And I was the only person
most,
who had someone on.
Most people who are knowledgeable know that there was no massacre at Jenin. And another thing is Pacifica is constantly still saying the unelected president. I don't happen to like Bush, but they're still saying the selected president, the unelected president. I mean, it gets tiresome.
Okay, I have to wrap up.
Thank you.
Okay, we have to wrap up, Paul and Gary, if you want to give a closing remarks, because I have a another emergency alert system test coming up, so I have to absolutely...
Paul, would you like to give any closing thoughts, please?
I'll just focus on what I was saying from the beginning, that the direction that folks are going in these LAB discussions is a wrong-headed approach. To divide the station and the networks, the stations and the network up into little, even smaller, even more secular and more provincialist identity politics grouplets, and then to grandfather in people who've been there for years to continue their control of stations and the network for years to come, is a disaster waiting to happen. And let me finish with this. I really ask that Leslie Kagan look at her position as heads of two organizations, the Committees of Correspondence and Pacifica, and decide to head one and to resign from the other.
Thank you. Mine will be very short. I believe that all purges and attacks must stop. I believe that if we're going to be anything representing democratic, we must truly make it democratic, from the local labs to the national board. I do not believe that by taking power by force, intimidation, or threats is a just way, and is certainly not a true democratic way of getting your position and your voice heard. I also believe that we should be opening up our forum to many different ideas than what exists now, and to truly be progressive in looking at the larger good that we could represent for society. I also believe that we should stop being focused on purely left and look at the truth, whatever it may be, and not be afraid of it. I believe that we have engaged in exclusion, and we should be more inclusive. Healing starts when we start representing ourselves as humanistic and not just an ism that is unique to one particular ideology.
Okay,
thank
thanks,
you all
Gary.
Very much.
Good night.
Good night.
This is KPFK Los Angeles.